let's ask for the Lord's help.
Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work in our midst, that you would take these words and you would cut to the heart, that you would open our eyes to behold the truth of Scripture. Lord, work in us, transform us, make us more and more like Jesus by means of your word. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, for the last few months, we've been considering the Sermon on the Mount. These are the most famous, the most profound words ever spoken. Jesus has made some really bold claims. He has spoken like no one else. And if you look at the very end of Matthew 7, we read this after Jesus concludes. So verse 28, when he had finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Well, that is absolutely clear at this point. Jesus has been speaking with great authority. He has set this standard that's higher than the law of Moses, higher than the Old Testament law. Jesus says, this is what it looks like to follow me. This is what is required of those who would be subjects in my kingdom. Jesus calls us to live radically countercultural lives. And as he finishes the sermon, Jesus calls for a response. He says we must make a decision. We must make a choice. Will we do what Jesus has been talking about for these last three chapters or not? Will we be doers of his word or will we be simply hearers only? Martin Lloyd-Jones rightly said, the words of Jesus are not meant to be praised, but to be practiced. Our Lord did not preach the Sermon on the Mount in order that you and I might comment upon them, but in order that we might carry it out. So we've been hearing week after week the various things that Jesus calls us to do, not to be angry, not to lust, not to lie, but to love our neighbor, to not be hypocritical, not to judge others. And Jesus actually calls us to live this way. At the end of the sermon, Jesus gives an invitation. In fact, he gives four invitations. Like a preacher, he doesn't tend to, you think he's done and he just keeps going. Well, Jesus does that, right? Today we've come to the beginning of the end. It's the conclusion of the sermon, but we've got 4 weeks left because we're going to focus on it today and then three more times. As Jesus says simply, are you going to do what I've said? Are you going to respond by putting these things into practice? Or are you going to walk away and make no change at all? His first call to action is simply this, to enter the narrow gate. So I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This is the word of the Lord, God's holy, perfect, inerrant, infallible word. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So here Jesus says that there are two gates, one broad and one narrow. There's two ways, one hard and one easy. There's two destinations, life and death. And there are two groups of travelers along this way. There's one large group and one small group. And so my question this morning for you is simply, which group are you in? Which gate have you entered through? Which path are you traveling? Which destination are you heading towards? You see, Jesus here divides all of humanity into two groups. That's it. There's only two groups. There are those that are on the narrow path and those that are on the broad path. There are those who are on the way to heaven and those who are on the way to hell. Everyone is on one path or the other, either on the way to life or on the way to destruction. He's saying mankind is kind of like what it's like when you're sitting there at airport gates. You might be sitting right next to someone, but they're going to enter a different gate than you are. You're going to be going in two opposite directions. this morning? Which gate have you gone through? Which path are you on? Which destination are you headed to? Sadly, Jesus describes that the vast majority of human beings, most of the people that you and I know, are headed towards hell. They're headed towards destruction. Now, this isn't just my opinion. This is the clear teaching of Jesus. Notice his language about the many and the few. I'll read the text again. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So here Jesus is teaching that there's more people on the path to destruction than there are on the narrow, hard way to heaven. What's even more shocking is that Jesus is talking to religious people. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is directed towards his followers, those who would walk in his ways, those that intend to do something about what he has said. We'll get to it in a few weeks, but glance down to verse 21. Just a few lines later, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So Jesus looks ahead to judgment day and says that there's going to be a lot of people who are surprised. People who are like, "Hey, I'm with Jesus." And Jesus is saying, "I don't know who you are. You're not with me. You're not on my team. You're not coming with me. You have not been on my path. You have not entered through my gate." There will be many who will be surprised. But Jesus says we shouldn't be surprised, because there's this direct correlation. It connects. Those who make it to heaven are those who have entered through the narrow gate and continued on the hard path. This morning, we're going to consider two gates, two ways, two destinations. But we're going to do so in the reverse order. We're going to start at the end and work our way back. So we'll start with the destinations. Then we'll think about the ways that we get to those destinations. We'll go all the way back to the very beginning of the journey, to the gates. But let's start with the destinations. Here he says there's two and only two destinations. There's destruction and there's life. There's heaven and there's hell. Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." There's one destination. "Those who enter by it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life." There's the other destination. "Those who find it are few." So we're told that there is this broad gate that opens to an easy way that leads to destruction. And there's a narrow gate that opens to a hard way that leads to life eternal. Destruction is one of the many ways that the Bible describes the eternal punishment of hell. It means to be utterly ruined, to be completely devastated. That will be the state of those who are in hell. Forever, they will be ruined. Some have mistakenly heard this language and think, "Oh, is this saying that people will be destroyed?" This is an error called annihilism. It's the idea that hell is an eternal, that people are just come to nothing. But what Jesus is describing here is this continual, never-ending state of ruin. He uses the same word to describe how wineskins can be burst and they are destroyed. It doesn't mean that they cease to exist, but now they're worthless. That is the continual state of those who are in hell forever, eternally ruined, eternally destroyed, completely devastated. Jesus describes our final destinations, our eternal destiny. There's death on one hand, and on the other side, he describes life that never comes to an end, eternal life. You see, the destinations that Jesus is talking about is heaven and hell. So let me just be very clear from the beginning. The stakes could not be any higher. We could not be any more serious what we're talking about here. We're talking about where you're going to spend eternity. Jesus tells us that there are two ways, one to each one of these destinations. So we've looked at the destinations. Now the two ways, the two roads, the paths that people travel. There's the easy way and there's the hard way. Listen for them again in the text. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So the way to hell is easy. It's through this wide gate. The way to heaven is hard, and it's through the narrow gate. Now, which way is more popular? Well, it's no surprise. It's the easy way. That's where people want to go. I remember years ago seeing a t-shirt in a store. It said, if it's difficult, it's not worth doing. I was so irritated. That is ridiculous. No, the things in life that really matter, they're hard. They're challenging. They take effort. And yet, we tend to go the path of least resistance. We tend to do what is easy. So it's no wonder that the easy road is the way that most people take. They take the broad, easy way. Here it seems that Jesus is describing this massive interstate. Everybody's going along, they're moving fast, they're doing their thing, they're traveling along without any trouble. And then there's this other way. It's this small little path. You have to enter through a narrow gate, a small entrance. He contrasts this broad path that's easy with this narrow way that's hard. The easy road is where the crowd is. Everyone's there. You'd be surprised how many people are there. You have liberals and conservatives. You have rich and poor. You have men and women, young and old, gay and straight, and every other grouping you can think of. They're all welcome on the broad road. Everyone can be there. The broad road makes no demands. All you have to do is do what feels good. Do what you want to do. Go your own way. A young child recently said to me, when I grow up, will I get to do whatever I want? To which I said, no. And the small child was confused. No. Even adults, we don't just do whatever we want. No, we need to do what God has called us to do. We need to trust and obey. But there are many who will tell you that's exactly what you do. Just do whatever you want. You know, it's interesting. We all go our own way. We all do our own thing. And that's because the broad road is so wide, you can do whatever you want on that road, and you're still on the broad road. But then there's the straight and narrow. There's this small path, the path that leads to life eternal. And there, it's a hard road, because there's demands. There's restrictions. There's guidelines. Most people don't even know there's another way. They only travel the interstate. It's the easy way. It's the fast way, but it's the wrong way. It's quite literally the highway to hell. That's what Jesus is describing. He's saying, most people you know are on the wrong road, going the wrong direction, towards the wrong destination. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Most people who aren't Christians, they're convinced that they're just doing fine. They're traveling the road and they look around and it seems like, yeah, we're all going together. This is great. It's one big caravan. It's the easy way that leads to destruction. Let me say something to the young people among us. You need to learn this lesson now. It's going to be true your whole life, but you need to learn it now. Going with the crowd is the way to disaster. Trying to fit in is dangerous. Doing what everyone else is doing will lead you to death. Jesus says, oh, there are many on the road to destruction. You don't want to join them. You want to get off of that road. Now, what makes the way to hell so easy? It's that you can do whatever you want to do. There's no moral constraints upon you. You'll have lots of company. What makes the way to heaven so hard? Now, we need to think about this carefully. It's not that it's hard because somehow we're earning our way to heaven. No, that's Absolutely wrong. That's not what it's about. Salvation is free. It's a gift of God. Christ has done everything necessary so our sins can be forgiven. And yet following Jesus isn't easy. It's hard. It's a hard road in the text that was read earlier in the service. Jesus says, count the cost. Don't you recognize that you have to give some stuff up if you're going to go through that narrow gate onto that narrow path? It's a hard path. See, what you have to leave behind is your life of sin. That's really the question this morning. Are you willing to give up all those things that you would enjoy on that broad road, to travel on the narrow, hard way that Christ calls us to? What is it that makes the hard road hard? Well, simply what Jesus is describing here is what the whole sermon has been about, right? All of the behavior, all of the conduct that Jesus has called us to, this is the straight and narrow. This is the path to heaven. He's telling us this is what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. If you're going to be my follower, you're going to live this way, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. It is easy to just go with the crowd. It is hard to go against the flow, to go in a different direction and do what Christ has called us to do. So Jesus is so blunt, so upfront. There's no bait and switch. No, he says, salvation is free, but if you're going to take it, you have to give up your sin. Consistently, the Bible tells us that the way unto salvation is to repent and believe. We have to trust and obey. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus. On the broad road, people do as they please. But the way of Christian discipleship is hard. Following Jesus is not easy. Oh, we're warned again and again about the difficulties, about the troubles that will come. Don't think, oh, well, if I become a Christian, now everything's going to fall into place. No, when you become a Christian, life's going to get even harder. But it's worth it because you're on the path to eternal life. I agree with J.C. Ryle, who wrote this. A Christianity that costs nothing is worth nothing. A cheap Christianity without a cross will prove in the end to be a worthless Christianity without a crown. You see, what he's going after here is those who would describe this kind of cheap grace where, oh yes, you just trust in Jesus and it doesn't matter how you live. You can just keep on sinning. You'll be fine. And J.C. Ryle is after here, he's saying, no, that's a mistake. You see, if Christianity doesn't actually call for a change, whatever you have is a counterfeit Christianity. It's not the real thing. It's not what Jesus was teaching about. To follow Jesus means that we enter through the narrow gate onto the hard way, and we continue on that hard path. It's not easy to follow Jesus, but it's worth it. We must persevere. We must continue. We must endure. Jesus said, it's the one who endures to the end who will be saved. We need to travel on that hard way. The easy road makes no demands, but it has no rewards. The hard road makes great demands, but it has great rewards. So this morning, I want you to pause, and I want you to examine your own heart, your own life. Are you traveling on the hard way or on the easy way? Is your life, is your behavior, is it just like everyone else in town? Or are you living in a distinct way? When people look at you, would they say, oh yeah, that guy does what he wants to do? Or would they say, that person is characteristic. They're characterized by self-control, restraint, a love for others, a desire to put the things of God above even their own concerns? Are you actually traveling on the hard way? With all seriousness, I want you to examine yourself. Because remember, Jesus says there's going to be those who say, Lord, Lord, weren't we with you? And he'll say, no, you weren't. Come on. You should have been able to tell. And so I'm warning you now. You need to look at your life and say, am I on the hard road that leads to life everlasting? Or am I on the broad road, like most of the people around me, headed towards disaster? Are you going with the crowd, or are you living by the higher standard? Are you walking in holiness? Not perfection, but there's a progression. You're moving in the right direction. We've seen two destinations, two ways. Finally, we're back to the beginning of the journey. There's two gates. And these gates open up to these two ways. One opens to the way that goes all the way to heaven. The other one opens to the road that leads to destruction, to hell. Let's talk about the two gates. There's a broad gate and a narrow gate. So we've got this large entrance, lots of people going through that one. It's wide open. And then there's this little gate over here. You actually have to like open it and you go through one at a time. It's small. It's easy to miss. Which gate have you gone through? It matters which gate you go through. Hear the text once more. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So we have a narrow gate and a broad gate. So this wide gate, the one that's big and open, it's the one that leads to this easy road. It's the one that leads ultimately to hell. The truth is that all of us have already gone through the wide gate. All of humanity has gone through here. Jesus is talking about our sin, our rebellion against him. And the wages of our sin is death. Sin leads to death. Because we've rejected God, we've all gone onto the wrong path, heading in the wrong direction. The Bible describes all of humanity on this hell-bound race. Every one of us has entered through that gate. We've all sinned, and we all deserve the destruction that is described. So again, hear the second half of verse 13. The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many. But now there's good news. Look at verse 14. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There is a different gate that opens to a different way, that leads to a different destination. There's a narrow gate that opens to the hard way that leads to life eternal. So how do we enter that gate? If we've all already gone through the broad gate, how do we get off of that road and onto the right path? When Jesus here uses the language of a gate, we know, as he has throughout the whole thing, he's speaking metaphorically, right? This is picture language. There isn't physically a gate, a doorway you have to go through. So what is he talking about? What does the narrow gate represent? Well, he's talking about conversion. He's talking about becoming a Christian. The narrow gate is Christ himself. He is the way in. In John 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. So Jesus is the point of entrance. He is the way in. He's our only hope. There's no other way to get on the road that leads to heaven. In John 14, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only point of entrance. That's it. It's the only way in. It's Christ alone. The apostles, they understood this in Acts 4, verse 12. They proclaimed, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So Jesus is the only way of salvation. You see, this narrow gate is narrow in that it refers to the exclusivity of Christ. It's the only way of salvation. It's our only hope. The way to heaven is through Jesus alone. He is the narrow gate. This morning we began with Psalm 1. Listen again to the destinations that are described at the end of the psalm. Verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So those on that road to destruction, they're going to perish. They're going to die. That's where they're headed. And yet the gospel tells us that God saw that we were all going there and he made a way of escape. Christ came and he perished in the place of the wicked. He died as a substitute for those sinners who could not possibly endure the judgment. Jesus took that judgment for us. He opened up a new way. There's an exit from the broad path. He made the way of escape. We're all heading towards destruction. And he says, no, come have life eternal. And you can only have it through Jesus Christ, the Lord. So I have really good news for you this morning. If you're on the wrong path, if a few minutes ago when I asked you to assess yourself, you're like, yeah, I live like everyone else in the world. And you recognize, yeah, I'm on the wrong road, going the wrong direction. You don't have to stay there. You can get off that road. The narrow gate is the exit. It's the off-ramp. It's the way we leave the broad road and we go on to the straight and narrow. Christ has made a way for sinners to be saved. We've all entered the broad gate, but my question this morning is, have you entered through the narrow gate? It's our only hope. It's narrow, likewise, in that it's a very small entrance. You can't go through with your family. It's not like, oh, well, I was born this way, so I'm just a Christian. No, no, no. You can't go in as a group. The narrow gate is single file. It's like a turnstile. It only allows one person at a time. Have you taken that decisive step of faith? Perhaps you've seen others enter the gate. Have you entered through the narrow gate? Have you turned from your sin and put your trust in Jesus? It's also narrow in that you can't bring anything with you. All that comes through the narrow gate is you. You come alone. You come by yourself. You can't bring your life of sin. You have to leave it back on the broad road. You have to abandon it if you are going to come onto the hard way that leads to life eternal. You need to repent and believe. This is what it means to enter through the narrow gate. So I ask you again, have you entered through that narrow gate? We've been working backwards through the passage. Look at the very beginning of verse 13. We have a command. Enter by the narrow gate. Jesus has preached this whole sermon. He comes to the end and he says, come to me. Come in. This is the invitation. Christ loves to receive sinners. He says, get off of that broad path. Come in with me. Come and join me. Enter through me. I am the way to life. But this is more than an invite. This is a summons, not merely a suggestion. This is an order from the king, not an option. He commands every one of you to enter by the narrow gate. He says, get off of that road. It's leading to your death. Come and have life eternal with me. Yes, following me means you'll be on a hard road, but it will lead to life that never ends. They're going to enjoy their path, their travel, but oh, they will not enjoy their destination. We will have a hard time on the path to heaven, but oh, it will be worth it. He orders you, enter by the narrow gate. So how will you respond to Jesus? He's spoken boldly. He's spoken with authority. He's told you what to do. He says, stop going your way and come with me. Enter by me onto the new path that leads to life eternal. Have you repented and believed? Are you continuing on? Are you steadfast following him even when the difficulties of life come? Following Jesus is not easy. Oh, but it's worth it. Enter by the narrow gate. Continue in the hard way. And spend your eternity with Christ in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for how blunt Jesus is here. We can't miss his point. We must exit the broad path and enter through the narrow gate onto the hard way that leads to life eternal. Lord, I pray that you would not let one person leave this place without putting their trust in you. Help each one of us to repent and believe, and to continue in the hard path, enduring in our repentance, enduring in our belief in him until that final day. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus.